In this passage, we meet a man who was possessed by a demon. There was an evil spirit who lived within him. And a lot is said today about demons and possession. There's a lot who preach a lot about these things, but there's little understanding. Many words, much talk, many claims, but little understood. What should we really learn from a passage like this? Because really, it's only in the Gospels, only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then also in Acts, that we meet these things. It's only in passages like this that we see such a thing. And many of those passages are very short. It just says, Jesus cast out demons. Demons were cast out. And here's a longer one. What can we learn from such words? Now let's remember where we were. Jesus and his disciples, they crossed the Lake of Galilee. As an inland lake, like Lake Victoria. They did fishing on that lake. And like Lake Victoria, when you crossed, you arrived in another country, in another territory. Now, this was part of the land of Israel long before, but now, at this time in the Gospel, it's Gentiles who are living there. It's a place that you didn't go if you were a Jew. You didn't go over to the other side. It's a place of darkness, place of people who are ignorant, people who don't know God. They don't know the true God. They don't worship him. They're far from him. They're unclean. It's a place where you'll find them looking after the unclean animals, the pigs in the law of Moses. Pigs in the Old Testament were unclean and Jews wouldn't keep them. It's a place of the reign of Satan, because people don't know the true God. They don't worship him. That was our condition. That was how all nations were until Jesus came and he broke the power of Satan. For thousands and thousands of years, only darkness was outside of God's chosen land. A lot of darkness inside God's chosen land for those years. But outside, completely darkness. We see here the condition of our ancestors. We see the condition, really, of every soul who has not yet been freed by Jesus Christ. So they went there and they met a man in a terrible position. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, you can learn that there were actually two men. It seems that one of those men was especially known. One of those was in a worse condition, perhaps, than the others. And so Luke only mentions one of those men. But it says, verse 27, he was possessed by a demon. What does that mean? What does it mean to be possessed by a demon? It means that an evil spirit had control over his body, over his arms, his legs, over his whole body, even over his words. So that when Jesus speaks in verse 13, says, what is your name? It is the demon that speaks. It's the demon that speaks in verse 28 and says, what do you want with me? Don't torture me. Or verse 31, don't order us to go into the deep place. So the man, in his own spirit, is not even in control of himself. That the demons can take control of his voice box, his lips, as well as the rest of his body. After things they'd done in verse 29, took him out into lonely, deserted places, forced him, gave him strength to break chains. To break out of chains that no ordinary man could break out of. So demon possession meant that an evil spirit actually took control of the body. Now today, many preachers are preaching something different. You know, you go to a pastor and tell him that you're having a problem with sin in your life, with temptation, And he might say to you, ah, I see you've got an evil spirit living inside you. But the ones in the Bible, they actually took over. So that even the evil spirit was the one speaking. It wasn't just a temptation. It wasn't just a pattern of sin in someone's life. But he actually came to dwell physically within you. And to take over. Now, for a Christian, it is impossible to have an evil spirit living inside you. The Bible tells us that somebody who's truly a Christian, if you've truly said sorry to Jesus for your sins, if he's come and made you a new person, then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. That the Spirit of God himself is the one who is living inside you. So, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Paul said to Timothy, guard that good deposit. He's talking about the gospel. Say, take care of that good gospel which was given to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He's saying you've got to hold on to the truth, and you can do that. The Holy Spirit will help you. He is the one who lives in us. Or even in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He is in you. You received him from God. So, now, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within your body, then an evil spirit cannot dwell there too. The Holy God will not share a home with a demon. The Holy Spirit has come to sit upon the throne of your life. Then there can't be someone else there who takes control of your body as well. It's not possible. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he crushed the power of Satan. You know, our ancestors, our fathers, they lived in complete darkness before the gospel came. Before Christ died, the nations were in complete darkness. But on the cross, Jesus dealt with sin. The wages for sin is death. But Jesus died the death so the power of sin could be broken. So the nations could be set free. We could be forgiven. The Holy Spirit could come and live with us. We could live a new way. The power of Satan was greatly reduced. He cannot keep the nations in darkness. The gospel will go to all of them and will have the victory in all of them. And so today, it's very, very hard to find a person like this who's actually controlled by a demon. I've never met one. Now, there's no verse that says it's impossible. There's no verse which says it's completely ended. But the Bible teaches that the power of Satan has been broken. And we would expect only to find such things in areas where the gospel has never come, and with people who've totally given themselves to Satan, who've decided to totally give themselves to Satan. It's a decision a true Christian can never make. It's impossible to be born again and have the Spirit of God in your life and to make that kind of decision. Yes, Christians, they fall sometimes very far back into sin, sadly. But someone who's been born again by the Spirit of God cannot commit themselves totally to Satan such that this kind of thing can happen to them. So that's what demon possession was. It never tells us how to drive out demons. You know, it tells us how to preach the word. It tells us how to serve the poor and the sick and the suffering. It tells us how to take the gospel out. But it never gives instructions and says, here's how to drive out demons. Because we drive out demons by preaching the gospel of Christ. And when a person believes, they can't be possessed by such a being. And yet, how many live in a way that pleases Satan? And you may not have a demon living in your body, but how many people live as if Satan was in control of their lives, because you don't pray, you don't give time to calling upon God, you don't make time to repent of your sins and to ask His mercy, you don't make time to seek God, you don't put first His kingdom, you don't make time to study the scriptures and to seek the will of God. You don't make time to be with the people of God and to hear the word of God. Or if you do make time, your heart is far away. It's back in your business. It's back at college. And that's living the way Satan wants you to live. And he doesn't have to get a demon inside your body. He just persuades you that it's okay to live that way. He just tells you you'll try better next week, next month. But no need to change today. Just carry on today in the same way. Many live as if Satan was the king in control. Well, this man, he lived far from the other people. So they tried to chain him because it seems he was violent. He was a terrible person. They tried to chain him. They tried to keep him under guard. But they couldn't. And the demon took him far, far away. And there's a picture for us. That the unsaved person, he's not fit to live with God. He can't dwell with God. He can't be with God's people. His end will be darkness. His end will be to be sent far away from the presence of God. His end will be a terrible, terrible place of suffering and pain. That's what Satan and sin does to you, and that's what you deserve at the end of it all. But this life you live without God, your end will be to be driven far away and to be tormented, to be wailing, to be crying, to be weeping, to be in pain forever. This man, where did the demon take him? To the place of death. That's verse 27. He lived in the tombs. In those days, they buried people in caves, caverns, not under the ground, but there were many caves, many underground places, and they could dig them deeper. That's where they took the bodies. Took the bodies there wrapped up to go and lie there. And that was the place this man went to, a place of death, place of darkness. Satan only desires to destroy and to ruin. The way of sin only takes you to death. Have you learned that yet? Are you still trying to compromise with sin? Still trying to have one foot in the ways of God, one foot in the ways of sin. But the end of it all is death and misery and darkness. And eternal death is waiting for the person who does not repent. There's no peace, the Bible says. No peace for the wicked. This man was just in torment. There's no compromise between light and darkness. No compromise between the way of repentance and faith in Christ, the way of the world. This man was helpless. There was nothing he could do. There was nothing that the other people could do for him. They chained him up, he broke the chains. They put him under guard, he overcame the guard. The power of the demon was much, much too great for him. Power of sin is much too great for you. It's only Jesus who can break it. Only repenting and looking to Christ crucified by faith, only that can break the power of evil in your life. Your own efforts, your own chains, your own ways of trying to defeat evil, they can't work. They won't work. Only if power from the risen Jesus comes and makes you a new person. That's your only hope. So this man is a picture of the awful situation of those without Christ. But then secondly, what we see is the great power of Jesus. The great power of Jesus, the Messiah. Before him, the demons tremble. All the demons had all power over this man's life. But as soon as Jesus came, they knew who it was. And they knew that they were finished. Verse 28. What do you want with me? What have you come for? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me. Where can this demon now go? He can only go where Jesus sends him. We don't know much about this place, the abyss, verse 31, the deep. Now, please don't send us into the abyss. Where is that really? What does it mean? That's not clear. The Bible doesn't want us to spend a long time trying to peer into the deep things of evil, to understand all the secret workings of darkness. But there's this place. The demon does not want to be sent there, but he can only beg. There's nothing he can do before Jesus. See, Satan is very, very powerful, but Jesus is much more so. That's why a Christian does not need to fear evil, not need to fear Satan. But a Christian doesn't need to worry about curses, about witch doctors, about spells, about the evil eye, about all these things that are around that trouble people. Whatever forces of darkness there are, some of these people are just liars, they're just fakes. Others, perhaps, they have access to powers of Satan. How can we know? But we don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. Because when Jesus died and rose, he defeated death. Defeated even death. He defeated Satan. He defeated the power of hell. So we shouldn't fear what other people fear. We don't need to think about charms and superstitions. We don't need to ask for someone to come and specially anoint the door of our house to protect it from evil spirit. With faith in Jesus Christ, there's nothing to fear. The demons, they know who Jesus is and they tremble before him. You see, it's just a word from Jesus that could throw them out. Verse 29, he commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. It seems he'd said something like, it's time for you to leave. And there was a short time then when the spirit was allowed to beg and to speak before Jesus finally sent him. But just a word from Jesus. Verse 32, he gave them permission. He allowed them to go into the pigs. And so that's where they went. It's the word of Jesus. It's not magic. It's not secret charm. It's not something that's in the hands of the pastor. It's a word from Jesus. And we receive it by faith. By faith, we believe Jesus died for our sins and rose again. By faith, we ask him to forgive us. And then we have the word, which is written in the Bible, that he forgives all our sins. Because of the blood shed on Calvary. And that he will keep us safe in our soul until heaven. And that even if our body is put to death, he'll raise it up again one day when he makes all things new. Now Jesus sent these demons into the pigs. There was a herd of pigs who were being kept. Now what does that really mean? Very, very difficult to say what it means. Because it's the only time in the New Testament that we meet any pigs. In the Old Testament, they were unclean. The Jews were forbidden to eat them. And maybe it's a sign that Jesus was now bringing light to the nations. Now, the nations were places of uncleanness, places of darkness, places of death. Now here Jesus comes over the lake. He drives out the demons. He drives out the pigs. The pigs are sent, well, by the demons, but they're sent down into the water and they drown. And it's a sign that Jesus is bringing the law of God to all nations. Now, it is not a law of God for us to avoid pork. There's no law for us to not eat pig meat, bacon, sausages, or whatever. That's made quite clear in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 7, it says that Jesus made all foods clean. In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said that all foods were clean. Those old laws in the Old Testament were keeping the Jews and the Gentiles as separate people. God wanted to have a people when he brought Christ into the world. He wanted there to be a land and a place for Jesus to come to. But after Jesus died, all those things ended. We don't keep the laws which were separating Jews from Gentiles. Those were just outward. They were a picture. They were teaching people about sin and about Christ. But now he's come and we don't have those laws. I know there's many who say we can't eat pigs. They're unclean because look what happened. It doesn't say that all pigs had demons in them. These pigs, they died. You can't find those pigs today. It's 2,000 years later. It seems to be a sign of Jesus coming to cleanse all the lands. It's a spiritual picture that he comes to bring light everywhere. The great power of Jesus. And that great power is seen in this man. Because verse 35, they now found him in his right mind. He was sober. He was in control. He was himself again. He was not having many demons living in him. But he had his own mind back. It was the great power of Jesus. It was a change they could not deny. Verse 35 says, when the people saw it, they were afraid. They said, what is this? How has this happened? This man, he's in the tombs. He was cutting himself. He was controlled by demons. And now it's all different again. Well, it's the great power of Jesus. Jesus changes people. Has Jesus changed you? And this is our third thing. This is our third part. To see the wonderful change in those that Jesus saves. We looked at the terrible condition of this man. We've seen the great power of Christ. Now let's see the wonderful change in a person's life. He was fully restored. He was given his life back. It was like being born all over again. A new person, a new start, a new hope. Old things had passed away. Now there was a new power in his life to put everything right again. That's what happens when a person becomes a Christian. Maybe you've been trapped by terrible things in your life. Maybe you've done awful things. Maybe there are powers which have controlled you, temptations which have defeated you again and again for years. Yet when Jesus comes into your life, when you are given a new birth by his Spirit, then there's no limits anymore. There's no sin which needs to defeat you. There's no old bondage which needs to contain you. You are freed. The Holy Spirit comes to make all things new. So there's nothing that you need to do that's sinful anymore. There's liberty. Now the man, what did he want? He had new desires. Verse 38. He begs Jesus to go with him. Jesus would return over the lake, back to the land. And the man said, I want to go with you. I want to go where the people of God are. I want to go where God's temple is. I want to sit at your feet. I want to learn from you. Are these disciples, they see you, they hear you. I want to be there too. I want to know about this new life. Is that what you want? Do you want to know about this new life? Do you want to be with the people who love God? The Bible says that when you become a Christian, the first thing to do is to be baptized and to join a church. A church should be a family of God's people. It's a place where God's word is taught, a place where we're encouraged, where we grow up. It's the first thing to do if you've repented is to tell the church and say, I want to join with you. I want to break the bread at the Lord's Supper with you. I want to drink that fruit of the vine with you when you drink it. I want to learn the ways of God. Well, at this time, Jesus had a slightly different plan for the man. He said, no, you can't come with me. You can't come over the lake. You can't join the 12 who follow me. But verse 39 or 38, he sent him away. He said, return to your home. Tell them there how much God has done for you. He had a different work for him to go and tell in that pagan nation, amongst those Gentile people, to go and sow the seed, to prepare them for when the gospel would come to them. Now that was a hard work, to just go as one person. But it's a great work to be the first, to be the beginner, the start of the church in that place. Go and preach the good news to them that God has sent Jesus. That's what the man did. He was obedient. Verse 39, he went away. He told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Notice it says, go and tell how much God has done for you. He went and told how much Jesus had done for him. Everything that the Father does, he does through the Son. All the mercy that we receive from God, it comes to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. If we want to speak of God, then we should speak of Jesus. Because he is the exact likeness of the Father. All of the Father's glory shines through him to us. And when you are saved, God sends you out. He sends you to go shine the light. And the first place he always sends you is your own place. And in your home, or in your place of work, in your neighborhood, in your college, Jesus sends you to shine the light there. If you're a really saved person, then you're a changed person. And people will see the difference. And you can tell them, it's what Jesus did for me. I heard that he bled and died for my sins on the cross. I believed in him. I heard that he's alive and he's the king. So I'm now obeying him. And the people will see the change in your life. Your words have changed. Your heart has changed. Your life has changed. God, first of all, sends us to our own place to make known the difference there. They're the people who really know in our own place. They really know if you're just pretending, if it's just an outward change, or if Jesus is now the Lord of your life, truly. Well, the other people of the area, they didn't want this. And verse 35 said they were afraid. This was a big thing that had come to them. It was going to change. It was going to challenge them. And they weren't sure they were ready for that. Verse 37, all the people of that region, they asked Jesus to leave. They said, our lives were comfortable. We like things the way they are. We don't want to change. So Jesus, please go away. Go back to the place you've come from. What a strange response, isn't it? Because what Jesus had brought was so good. This man was a slave of the devil. But now he was free. But the people said, oh, these are deep things. They were more happy when the man had the demons. They didn't drive him across the other side of the lake. They didn't say, you go across into Galilee, don't stay here. But when Jesus brought this light, they preferred the darkness. It was too bright for them. Are you like that? The light shines, but it's too bright. So let me remain in the shadows. let me remain in the dark places. Jesus, just stay at a distance. And what a terrible thing to say. Jesus had mercy on them. He sent this man. We read later that many in this region came to believe in the Saviour. Many of them did repent and trust in the Son of God. How about you? Do you want to still live in darkness? Do you want to come into the light? Repent and believe in Jesus. Start following him.